It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here in our downtown WGN Radio studio. Following a 5-2 opening night loss for the Blackhawks to the Utah Hockey Club. If you'd like to chime in on this postgame show, feel free to give us a call or text at 312-981-7200. Going up to 12:30 in the morning tonight. And for more on tonight's game, let's bring in Troy Murray from Utah for a game recap. First off, Troy, can you hear me?
What's that?
It seems like the volume is much lower now.
Yeah, the building's pretty much empty. So we're good to go here.
Well, hey, what'd you think about this game? Three shots in the first period. Obviously, they fall behind 2-0, kind of playing catch up the rest of the 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, if the first period, throw that aside. They weren't very good in the first period. There was a couple shifts, but nothing going. From the top offensive players, obviously, with only three shots on goal, they weren't creating a whole lot of opportunities. But you give Utah a lot of credit for coming out and playing with a lot of energy, a lot of emotion, a lot of speed in their game early on. But like I thought, maybe it wanes a little bit after an intermission. Some of that energy wears off. The adrenaline starts to wear off. And now you can just go back and play. And I thought the Blackhawks came out second period and played extremely well. And then they worked hard. I mean, they had a good second and third period. If you look at it, they ended up outshooting Utah. They had more attempts that were blocked. Utah had 22 block shots in this game. The Hawks missed 17 shots. They had 24 hits to 19 for Utah. Takeaways, all in favor of the Blackhawks and 50% in the faceoff circle. So they did a lot of good things other than that first period. And it's tough in the NHL to chase the score like they did. They were down 3-0. They battled back. I give them a ton of credit that they battled back hard. You had three posts in this game. Bertuzzi, when the game was on the line, it was still 3-2, had an opportunity, turned around, fired a shot, went off the near post, out the backside. You know, just didn't get the breaks that you were hoping for, but the three posts and a crossbar certainly are a big difference in the game when you were hoping to find a lucky bounce, just get that break that you're looking for. And I don't know if they got it in this game, but boy, they worked hard to create some opportunities.
Yeah, that first period obviously was tough, but they really did. They came out flying in that second period, and we mentioned it in the second intermission. If they score on one of those chances, whether it was Taylor Hall, Philip Kurashev hitting the post, Craig Smith hitting the post, to cut it to a 2-1 deficit, that would have felt like it changed the feeling of the game, or it would have changed the feeling of the game. And then Utah going up 3-0. You know, I know the Blackhawks ended up pulling it within 3-2, but it just felt like it would have been a different game if it got to 2-1.
Yeah, if you can manage the score and get back and be within one, you know, you're one shot away, you're one bounce away, and I think the Blackhawks really kept their focus in this game. Luke Richardson, I thought, did a nice job as far as his coaching, switched up a couple lines, looked at just some things that weren't working and made a big adjustment, put Nick Foligno up on the top line, and I think spreading out, I thought Mikheyev was excellent in this game. And he ended up being down on the third line where Foligno was playing before. But they did a lot of good things in this game. They just weren't able to get those bounces that they were hoping for. And I think that when you look at some of the film, they're going to have to pick out some of the things that they need to do better. But I think they can also look at some things that they did do well and build on that and say, here's some examples of good dump-ins, good forecheck, good pressure, good shots. A face-off win in the offensive zone goes a long way. And I was just talking about it with Nick Foligno going in there to take the face-off, and with the tired group of guys for Utah out there. I said, this is a big face-off. And they won the face-off, and they ended up scoring the second goal of the game. So, you know, you got to take advantage of certain situations within the game. There's always games within the game. And I think the Blackhawks did a much better job of that in the second and third period. Just didn't get rewarded for it and get back into this one.
Let's talk about the power play. It struggled again. It was it has struggled all preseason. And
hey, look at the time.
Hey, we see you, Troy. We're sending you away. You're like, wait, I can't hear you, Charlie. I gotta go.
What's that?
I imagine the Blackhawks are. It's going to be an area of focus when they practice next. What did you see from tonight, and what corrections could they make?
You know, first of all, you look at the face-offs. I think they're about 50% on the face-offs on the man advantage, which is pretty good. I mean, 3 for 6. So yeah, they're 50% of the faceoff. But they didn't get any clean wins, and then when they did, they just weren't able to kind of set it up. I think the entries were an issue, the second and third power play for sure. But I think that you might have to make an adjustment. I like Kurashev's creativity on what he can bring to the table. And I don't want to be critical on Taylor Hall, but he turned pucks over a couple times, and that takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of emotion out of the game. You know, maybe they make some adjustments here in the next few days before they play Winnipeg on Friday night. But at the same time, you got to move the puck quicker. There's pressure coming on, and I thought Utah did an excellent job on the penalty kill, putting pressure on it, and they really didn't allow it. But if you're putting pressure on a team on the penalty kill, there's something that is open. And whether you have to kind of throw it blind, knowing that someone on the other side of the ice is wide open, throw it across the ice, that area is going to be open. And I thought Utah pressured, and I don't think the Blackhawks power play guys handled that pressure extremely well, because they turned a lot of pucks over, and they were stripped of a lot of pucks that year ended up chasing the puck all the way down the other end of the ice.
I'm totally with you there. I feel like Kurashev would be a much better option in that bumper, not Taylor Hall. I mean, Taylor is respected veteran or whatever, but I do agree kind of keeping Bedard with Kurashev and Teravainen. I feel like I would like to see that. All right, last one before we let you go, Troy. Utah, the atmosphere, did that live up to the hype?
Oh, it did. It really did. I was really impressed with the fans here. And this was Tuesday?
Yeah.
They started their festivities at 12:30 this afternoon, and it never stopped. They had bands, they had all kinds of stuff, interactive stuff going out in the plaza here, around the building. There was a lot of emotion coming into this game, and even today, the commissioner, Gary Bettman, was here, ESPN. It's a big game. They had Mark Messier, P.K. Subban. They had, so there was a really big buzz coming into this game, and I don't think it disappointed. That they talk about this building as maybe the loudest building in the NHL, and I can believe it. I mean, I really could not hear you when they were doing some stuff in here, and our broadcast position is kind of right in the middle of everything, and it's kind of tough. But at the same time, you love that here. That's going to be a big factor for this team moving forward. I mean, if you compare Mullet Arena with the Arizona Coyotes compared to this arena with the Utah Hockey Club, it's not even close. And even the building out in Glendale before just it didn't have this type of atmosphere. And it was really impressive what they did here. Got to give Utah Hockey Club a lot of credit in how they got this thing turned around in a quick span of time. They're outside of the Blackhawks locker room. They actually, inside the Blackhawks locker room, I was talking to the trainer. They put hooks. They were drilling in hooks in the stalls as the Blackhawk trainers were unloading the equipment yesterday. That's what they were right up against the last minute. The electronics that they had downstairs, completely redoing it. 2 weeks ago, there was nothing there. And they did an excellent job of getting this production done. And it was really nice, a great spectacular moment here. And I think the fans really appreciated the way that their home team played.
All right, Troy. We'll talk to you on Friday in Winnipeg.
I look forward to it, Charlie.
Don't lie to me.
No, I'm not. I'm serious.
All right. We'll talk.
And I got to say this. You were okay tonight.
I was okay? All right.
You were okay.
I'll take that. Work in progress.
You did a great job. Well done.
Thank you, Troy. Safe travels.
All right. Thanks, Charlie.
All right. We got more to get to on Blackhawks Post Game Live. You're listening to 720 WGN.
It's going
to
be Foligno facing off against Jack McBain. To the right of Ingram. Hawks control. Vlasic left point to Bedard. Top of the left circle. Back to Vlasic. He fires. He scores!
There you go.
Nick Foligno in front of the net with a perfect screen. And Vlasic fired it on the glove side. Low. It beats Ingram. The Hawks are back to within a goal. Trailing 3-2 with a lot of time left on that clock.
Back on the Blackhawks post-game show. Charlie Romeliotis here. That was one of two goals for the Blackhawks tonight. Nick Foligno winning that faceoff clean, getting it over to Alex Vlasic. Foligno darted straight to the net, redirects a shot into the net, and that was a perfectly well-drawn-up play. Nick Foligno, I thought he had one of his better games, and he did so with the C on his sweater for the Blackhawks. We got a caller to get to. Evan, you with us?
Yep, I'm with you.
How's it going, man? Thanks for joining.
Good, how are you?
Good. What you got for me?
I just wanted to have your opinion on putting Kurashev, who was a big part of our offense at the end of the year, putting on him on a power play with a lot of fourth liners and just sticking him on there. I feel like it's horrible for his development and stuff like that.
You talking about on the power play or
second power play?
Yeah, I totally agree. We were talking about it with Troy right before this, and Taylor Hall is currently in that bumper spot on the first unit, and I would like to see Kurashev in that role. I know that that's probably not even an ideal role for Kurashev in the side. You would ideally like to have him on the other wing to play off of Connor.
Yeah, on the outside, yeah,
because they definitely had that chemistry going last year. But at the same time, I don't think you want to move Teuvo Teravainen into the second unit because you want him to build that chemistry. But I agree, Evan. I think if I were the Hawks, I would put Kurashev in that bumper role, get Kurashev with Bedard and Teravainen, and slide Taylor Hall into the second power play unit. And have him going with Donato.
Yeah, because a lot of the good part of the power play last year was cross ice passes from Bedard to Kurashev on the walls.
For sure,
that's not going to happen with that fourth line.
And it feels like
they have with him.
Yeah, thank you for the question. And it feels like Kurashev also, too, he has a really quick shot. So if he were to get the puck in that slot area, it feels like he would be better off getting the shot off quickly than Taylor Hall. So, I'm totally with you there, Evan. Thanks for staying up late with me, man.
Yeah, Ben, one more question. What do you think about, Athanasiou coming back in the lineup to bring more speed to it?
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, it's going to be a conversation, I think, for sure, especially with Lucas Reich on the outside looking into. And I think that, you bring up a good point with Athanasiou and Reichel. I got some questions on Twitter, too, about the second power play unit just as a whole. It doesn't look really really sexy names. And I think it's in large part because Reichel and Athanasiou were healthy scratches. And so I think you definitely hope that they could kind of find their game again, because then it feels like the Blackhawks would have a more respectable second unit with Reichel and Athanasiou. And then if you drop Taylor Hall to that second unit, it seems a little bit more formidable. But Athanasiou, I mean, Evan, I think he had a tough one in Milwaukee the other night, and playing in St. Louis was, they didn't dress their full lineup. It was a lot of prospects. So I was a little disappointed to see Athanasiou not really take control there. And then Reichel, obviously, he's had a little bit of a tough training camp. He came in a little bit more confident, but we haven't seen him totally seize control of the opportunity yet. But yeah, I agree. If the Hawks are looking for more offense, you hope that Reichel and Athanasiou can be two of the guys to help provide that second line scoring, but they didn't have a strong showing in preseason. So I don't mind Luke Richardson, kind of healthy scratching them on opening night to kind of get their attention. All right, we got audio coming in from Utah, Nick Foligno and Teuvo Teravainen. Let's hear what they had to say.
How would you assess that game from a Hawks standpoint?
I think we just kind of, we waded into the game a little bit. I think we knew it was going to be a hostile environment. I thought we actually had a great first shift, but they just got to their game a little faster than we did in the first. And then, honestly, I thought we took over. I mean, the posts that we hit, the chances that we had, they're going to get their opportunities. They're a skilled team, but I thought for the most part we carried the play and really deserved to equalize the game. So that's the disappointing part. But an area that we need to address. Obviously, just making sure we start right. I mean, it's a difficult situation coming into this environment, but that's what you appreciate, and you just buckle up and go to work. And not as proud of our response today and how we play, but we got to find ways to get results.
Anything said after that first period? Yeah. You guys going?
I just think we knew we weren't at our game, right? I think it was just trying to get ourselves back into the style of play that we needed to play. And honestly, it's about not shooting ourselves in the foot, too. A lot of the goals that they're scored are direct results of us making a mistake, not really anything they're doing. And that's the difference in the game. So, we got to make sure we make teams earn their goals and, not give turnovers or missed assignments. And, that's the NHL they're going to make it pay.
How important were, I guess, just the Kurashev line? Maybe start that second period just for those early shifts.
Unreal, setting the tone. I mean, especially it's just good to see Halsey out there buzzing. That line was great for us. They deserved a few goals, and it's disappointing they didn't get that. But they definitely carried the momentum and got us going in the second and kind of got our game to life. And now we got to find a way to get that and not maybe play from behind too, right? Like start the games on time so we're the team leading and the other team having to open up and we can take advantage of that. So it's game one. It was a great experience and environment, and credit to Utah and the fans and the ownership here to solidify hockey and and you know, it's exciting for our league. But you know, we're going to look forward to Winnipeg.
It's been slow starts in the past going back to last season. What do you think was the reason for this?
I mean, this, you can put, it's game one, and I think we were excited, but also it's a unique environment. You're opening up an inaugural team. You're trying to see what the environment's going to be like, and I think they fed off their crowd. And not to say we didn't, we just, you can see they kind of got to their game faster than we did, and I don't think that's going to be an issue for us all year long. I think it's just one of those nights, and we'll rectify that come Winnipeg.
I know it's not a panic, but after the preseason and then to have the first period, I guess just to see some structure and some offense in the second and third are important for this team.
No, I'm not concerned. I think we turned a corner already on that. I see a way different team this game than you know. There's lots to be excited about. If we don't hit four posts, and it's a different game. And you know, it's coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's a results business, but I like where we're heading. You know, it's game one, and there's a lot of hockey left. And I think if we start burying those chances and play like we did the second and third, I think we're gonna like where we're sitting.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. I like what he said there. He said they got to their game quicker than we did. And obviously it was their inaugural game for Utah. But, you know, the Blackhawks could have fed off that energy as well. And I'd like to see them moving forward, not wait for the other team to dictate things. It would be nice to see them dictate the pace and take control of the game early on, because we didn't see that a ton last year. And I know it's only game one, so I don't want to totally overreact to one game, but it would be nice to see the Blackhawks get off to strong starts, so that way they can kind of be in control. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game and next game preview coming up right here on 720 WGN.
The other way, Gunther crossing the Hawk line down the left wing, moves in and fires, and a windmill glove save made by Mrazek, and he'll hold on.
That was tonight's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek gave up 2 goals on 7 shots in the first period. A little shaky in the opening 20 minutes, and then he settled down, only giving up 1 goal on 17 shots before that, I'll say, garbage time 5th goal by Utah. Let's go back to Utah and hear from Teuvo Teravainen, who scored the first goal of the season in his first game back with Chicago.
How would you assess that game?
Good building, was pretty loud, good feeling. Just getting down 3-0, it's going to be hard, but we start playing better after. Got our 4 lines rolling pretty good, but it just wasn't enough today.
Did something change going into the second period? It seemed like you guys kind of found your game at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. We got a couple good shifts there. Hit some posts, get a little energy out there. It's just... got a little excited about the game. Felt like we got better and better, but just got a little short today.
What do you see on your goal?
I think they got a little turnover. We got a little 3-on-2 or 3-on-1, and Connor made a nice play to me, and I just, tried a little move backhand and tried to get it up.
How do you feel about your chemistry with Bedard tonight and your whole line?
I think it was all right. There's always stuff you want to get better, and I think when we got the puck and got in the own zone, there was some good stuff, but we got to make sure we get the ozone more, and it will get better.
Any lessons learned in the power play?
Yeah, we need to get better on that for sure. Just need to talk and see what we're doing bad or what we're doing good. I think was a lot of good stuff. It just bounced a little over stick or bad bounce somewhere there. It was bad eyes over there. So, we didn't bounce our way.
What did you make of the crowd tonight? Did Utah make a good first impression on the league?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was exciting, for sure. First game for them. Good energy.
That was Blackhawks forward Teuvo Teravainen, who scored a goal. Also logged 20-34 of ice time, which ranks second among all forwards. Of course, Connor Bedard ranked number one. One more break, and then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Back out in front, Winnipeg shoots and scores! They got the puck toward the slot, and Kyle Connor darted around a couple of checks and dekes out Bedard, and Winnipeg leads it 3-2.
That's our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That was the Blackhawks are going to face the Winnipeg Jets on Friday, and ironically, Laurent Brossois is the backup goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks, who's injured right now and is probably not going to dress in that game. So the Blackhawks took away one of Winnipeg's dependable backup goaltenders. With the Blackhawks' next game, I'm curious to see if they're going to make any lineup changes, not just with the lines. We saw Luke Richardson change up the top six. He put Nick Foligno on Connor Bedard's line, and they ended up generating some chances in that third period. But like I mentioned with Evan earlier on the call, is this an opportunity to get Lucas Reichel back in? Do you get Andreas Athanasiou in to provide some more speed, some more offense? You know, maybe those two guys hopefully got some of the message. I also had a question on Twitter. I think it was from Joe M asking about Nolan Allen's NHL debut. And the way I would sum it up, actually, I might have gotten a text from it, 815 area code. The way I'd sum it up is it was just fine. I mean, I'm looking at the score sheet. He didn't have any shots. He didn't have any hits. He didn't have any giveaways, any takeaways. He logged only 10:04 of ice time, but I didn't really notice him. And I think sometimes that can be a good thing. So I don't necessarily count that as a negative, but decent debut for Nolan Allen. Let's see if he sticks in the lineup for Friday's game versus Winnipeg. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight. Production crew of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our captain, the engineer Krista Flores, and of course the great John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Utah. I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-2 loss to Utah. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you on Friday.